Okay, as we begin today's message, it's going to be on the mission of the church, which is similar to the purpose of the church, or we've been talking about the church all along. Now, next week, I'm not going to talk about the church. Next week, it's going to be about mothers and prayer from the Old Testament. But today is the mission of the church. And it's not so much me declaring what the mission is, or Scripture declaring. One of the things I have for you today is I want you to think about what you've already declared. And we'll talk about that in a moment. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 11 through 21, I'm going to go ahead and take time to read that. And I'm reading this because I think it's an important part of the mission, is reconciliation, meaning God, that's what He does to us. He reconciles us to Him. Starting in verse 11, chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians, it says, "Since then we know that what it is to fear the Lord, we try to persuade others. What we are is plain to God, and I hope it is also plain to your conscience. We are not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but we are giving you an opportunity to take pride in us so that you can answer those who take pride in what is seen rather than what is in the heart. If we are out of our minds, so some say it is for God, and if we are in the right mind, it is for you. For Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all. And therefore all died. And He died for all, and that those who believe should no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old one is gone, and the new one is here. And all this is from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. And that God has reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. And we therefore, Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, and that in Him we might become the righteousness of God." A lot of scripture, but real good. It's on that theme of reconciliation, which is really part of the mission of the church that I find in scripture. We like to, define the idea of mission. Mission conjures up all kinds of things in the church, or even in the world. Usually we think of mission, a hospital have a mission statement, and they'll walk into the elevator and there'll be this little sign and saying what their mission is. We as a church has ours up on the wall back here. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Everybody has a mission. Sometimes you only think about missions as going away someplace else, or sometimes we think about local missions, things that we do right here in our community. But a mission defined is an important assignment carried out. So we have a mission as a church, assignment as a church, something to be carried out. We have an aim or a goal, an ambition. And so when we think about it defined that way, it helps us. So my question to you today, though, is how does the mission of the church affect you? Because it affects all of us differently. Some of us are very passive about it. And some of us are very aggressive about it. And then there's everything in between. But it's an important thing that we know who we are and what our mission is, what our aim is as a church. Most churches do not know what their mission is. If you put it in a world sense, most businesses or things out there don't know what their aim is, what their goal is, what they're setting out to do. As a church, we think we do. And this is another one of these things. If I had you write it down and we all turn those papers in on Sunday morning without talking to one another, it'd be interesting to see how many different opinions of what we think the mission of the church, of First Baptist Church of Norfolk, is. And I know that a lot of them would be the same. And some of them wouldn't be. And you'd say, wow, how did they get that? You know, and yet we communicate things we don't realize that we communicate all the time. But the mission, or the goal, or the aim, it's on our bulletin, it's in our hallway, it's there. So I'm approaching this from two different ways. One is looking at Scripture, what's it say about mission? Two, what you have said you think mission of this church is, and then I want you to ask yourself, how does the mission of the church affect me? Meaning, how am I doing mission in this church? Some would say, well, I do mission every week. I shake hands. I love people. Well, that's good. Is that part of the mission of this church? Is that part of God's mission? Or is that your own mission? You know, how does it affect you? It's important. So, we know that what this church's mission is. It's First Baptist Church mission is, it says, helping people find and follow Jesus. That's what you have said. That's what's on your little phone directory. I think it's in the hallway on the wall. I think it's in the bulletin sometimes. And that's a great mission statement. It really is. I like it because it's not long. Sometimes people try to write paragraphs and you say, wow, I can't get that in my head. And this is short and concise. I like that. Helping people find and follow Jesus. Now, the question I'd have for that, and this is just thought-provoking. I want you to, the wheels to be turning. I'm not answering the question. I want you to answer the question. Is how do you define it? How do you define, you know, or what ministries in your church do that? Or how do you do that personally? How do you help people find and follow Jesus? Something to think about, isn't it? How do you personally do that? Maybe a praise team stands up and says, I help them find by singing. That's fine. That's part of it. Or I help them find Jesus by serving on this ministry team. Okay. Maybe yours is out there on the gardening night. I don't know. But I want you to be thinking about how do you serve this church in its mission. And the mission is, you've said, as a church, is helping people find and follow Jesus. See, a lot of these messages I've been giving is all about how you plug in to the church and how you reach out from the church. Because if we're just plugging in all the time and not reaching out, then we don't grow. We can't just plug in all the time. It has to be both, in and out. Because if we don't focus out, then we're just an inward group. And it might feel good, but it won't ever grow us. So what I would put to you in your thinking process is, what am I doing in my ministry? Because each one of you should have a ministry or a gift that helps us find, help people find Jesus and follow Jesus. I can't answer that for you. You have to answer that yourself. So I want your wheels to be turning about that. What am I doing to help? Now my second point is thinking a different way. Knowing God's mission is, now from this is from Scripture, is by reconciliation. And that verse in 5:18, I love this verse. It says, "All this is from God, who reconciled us to Him through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." So I believe from Scripture, and I think it plugs into your statement of helping people find and follow Jesus, is reconciliation, because we've been estranged from God. All of us were at one point, because we're sinners. But we've been brought back to God through reconciliation. There was a boy named Jack. And Jack, he's actually named after his grandfather. Him and his sister Sally, they were out playing and out by the lake, and Jack got rough, and somehow he got connected with the duck, and he hurt the duck, and the duck died. And he didn't think anybody saw, but Sally, his sister, did. And he thought, "Oh, I'm going to be in trouble from Grandma and Grandpa and my mom and dad." And Sally says, "No, you won't. I won't tell anybody. I'm not going to tell them, Jack. It's okay." So they got back in the house. And Grandma says, "Well, who would like to help me do dishes today?" And Sally pops up, "Oh, Jack loves doing dishes. He'll help you do dishes." And Jack said, "Okay, I'll help do dishes." And then Grandma says, "Who likes to vacuum? Sally?" She goes, "Oh, no, Jack likes to vacuum a lot. He's good at vacuuming." And Jack's like, "Yeah, I like to vacuum, Grandma. I'll help vacuum." And you know how the story goes on. The rest of the day, it was Jack had to do everything. But Grandpa came in from outside, and he pulled Jack aside. He saw what was going on. Sally kind of held it over his head. And Grandpa Jack said, "Hey, Jack, you know, I saw what happened out at the lake. And it's kind of like, you know, things happen and I forgive you, and it happened and God forgives you. And you don't have to let Sally hold that over your head for the rest of your life. Just, you know, make your confession. We can have this reconciliation, make things right, and then Sally won't have to hold this over your head all your life and say, 'Oh, Jack this or Jack that.'" You know, that's what the world does to us all the time. And we even do it to ourselves with the guilt sometimes. You know, but God is in the business when we've fallen short or have sinned or done things to make the relationship not right. God wants a right relationship with all of us. That's the mission, is to have the right relationship with each other. And so God, you know, just like his grandfather said, "Jack, it's okay. I forgive you about the duck, and Grandpa, or the father forgives you, and nobody's going to hold it over your head." And they reconciled, and they made things right. That's what God does for us. He makes things right. That's the mission. That's God's mission, because Jesus died on that cross for us. We can have a right relationship with God. He's reconciled us for all of us. That's the ultimate mission, and we've talked about that every week. And it's a mission that never gets old. Never gets old. Because we all want to be in right relationship with God. It's so important. And Jack perked up, and he was very happy at that point, because that weight of what he had done, and then Sally holding that weight on top of it all the time, got to be a big, big burden. Sometimes we carry those burdens, but if we go to God and get reconciliation, and realize that God has paid for everything for us, it's taken care of. Cost is what we should be asking ourselves as disciples, each of us as learners. Jesus has made himself the sin. That's the big cost. But what does it cost us? It costs us money. Now, I believe that giving, excuse me, is not hard. When I first got married, Andrea came to me and says, "We're not making our tithe." and there's not enough money left. I says, well, put the offering in the, or the tithe in first, and then pay the other bills. And so we changed it to that, and it's always been fine. We get it mixed up. Giving is not a hard thing. And so, but we just have to do it in the right order. Give to God first, and then He'll let you take care of the bills. He'll pay for them. And but so giving is one way, the cost financially, but it's not just financially. Time, some of you give lots of time here. I've seen you do it. It's amazing how some of you give time to the church and to the Lord through the church. It's amazing. And so time is part of the cost. Money's part of the cost. But how about, oh, thank you so much, Jim. Thank you. I appreciate that. How much, you know, we just had this little commissioning. See, you know, it's all about relationship with the Lord. But how much time are we going to put towards prayer? You get up in the morning every day and say, God, thank you, and please be with the search committee. That's what I want you to be praying every day. And God, please be with our church and help us to overcome the difficulties we've had and to become a church that is a mission-oriented, helping others to follow and find Jesus. You know, prayer. How much time are you going to give to prayer? Everybody, prayer is something everybody can do. Everybody can pray. You know, I never liked it when they took prayer out of schools, but you know what? There's still prayer in schools. Nobody can take prayer from a person. You can still pray quietly in school. You just don't have to broadcast it and do it as a group. You still can pray. We can pray anywhere, anytime, all the time. Pray in your car as you're driving back and forth to places. Pray, you know, pray in church, but pray at home, pray at mealtime, pray at bedtime. So how much time, there's a cost involved in the mission. There's a cost involved. Just about finished that book that Andrea and I was reading last week, and I love some of the illustrations that Dave Stone gives about things that people do to reach out, evangelism. Because really, the mission is about evangelism, is another way to say it. We can call it reconciliation, we can call it church on purpose, we can call it church on mission, but it's evangelism too. And I love some of the illustrations he gives about, he had a guy that said that he would give a meal to anybody that would bring a person to church for 4 weeks straight. He believed that if a person came to church 4 weeks straight, most of the time, and I think this is true, a person will stay if they've come 4 weeks. You know, it's hard. I've seen a few visitors come here and go, but they haven't made 4 weeks. If they come 4 weeks, you probably got them. Dave always wondered, though, if they, he challenged them to that, but did they really follow through with that? You know, did he have to pay for the steak or not? And that, and then there's other ones they would challenge. If you come to church for 4 weeks, you can be on my golf team and different things, all different kinds of things that he talks about, challenges to get people there. The third part is by living God's mission. It's a personal how. Each one, I want you to each take sermon personally. How am I going to do First Baptist mission? I'm finding people and helping them follow Jesus. Dave talked about there were some people, they used to have a person raise their hand when somebody came to the Lord. And this one lady kept raising her hand every time. And he came in conclusion after talking to her that she was what he called a bringer. She didn't give them the plan of salvation. She didn't, all she did was invite them and bring them. She was a bringer. Maybe you're a bringer. Have you ever thought about that? That you could be a bringer? Not that you have to open God's word and say, this is this and this is that. Maybe you just invite him and you pick him up and bring him here. How hard can that be? For some people, it's very hard. For others, easy peasy. Maybe you're a bringer and didn't know it. And you thought, well, maybe I could be a bringer. Where do you fit in to the scope of this ministry of finding people and helping them follow Jesus? So it's personal. And it's sharing, it's praying. The mission is has got to be motivated. How do we get motivated? I like it that Jonathan, he really wants you to get motivated, doesn't he? He's trying to get you motivated, excited on Sunday morning. Motivation. I've thought about this all week. How do people get motivated? Is it just in them, or does an external thing make it happen? Some people are passionate, and you say, wow, where do they get that passion? Well, I think it's different for everyone. But I hope and pray that you get some passion, some motivation to fulfill this mission statement, or it's evangelism. It's all about relationship. I've been fortunate enough in my life to go on several different mission trips. I've been to India for a month. I don't want to go back to India. But it was good. I've been to Costa Rica a couple times. Been to Dominican Republic 5 times. I've been to St. Vincent. Andrea and I did a nice teaching stint there for about a month and a half that was wonderful. What motivated me to go? But one of my favorite mission trips was actually when we served First Baptist Church in Winchester, and we took the youth on a week mission trip here in the States. We took them to Chicago. And that week, we did a different event each day. One day, we helped Jews for Jesus. We passed out tracts all day at what they call a water tower. There's a spot in town called the Water Tower, and there's a little park around that water tower. And we passed out tracts for Jews for Jesus for a whole day. That was an education for those high schoolers. Even me, it was an education. The people you meet, the people that don't want anything to do with you, the people who are excited to get the track. But that was part of the mission. We were passionate about that. And then the next day we went to Moody and spent the day at Moody and learned all about Moody, the school at Moody, and their passion for the Lord and workers. And then we did a day with Chosen People Ministry, which is a different Jewish Christian ministry, where they're trying to lead Jews to become Messianic Christians. Then we did another day at Pacific Garden Mission, where we went and served meals all day for Pacific Garden Mission, and then went to church with those people. Then we did a day at Judson College, which was one of our schools. So each day we did a different thing, but they all were mission. And what I loved about that trip, that mission trip, was the kids' lives were truly changed. Not because of what I did, but because their interaction and relationships they built with the people. In fact, we had, I know at least 3 of those kids turn around and go to Judson College. And that was powerful to them. One went to Moody out of that group. And it's just amazing what mission can do in our church, in this church. If we can become passionate about our mission of finding people and following Jesus, it will change our church. That's part of what you got to do. It's your responsibility. The first question I gave you that I want you to leave with and think about is, how does the mission of the church affect you? How do I plug into that, to the ministry of this church? Where do you fit? I think we need to be asking ourselves that. Even if you're on a ministry team already, you still need to be asking yourself that. It's important. Relationships are important. There was a man who had a relationship with his wife. You know, so important, relationships. His name was Thomas Carlyle. He'd been married for quite a while. He married his secretary, whom he dearly loved. But sometimes, and this is the way we are sometimes, I think, he became thoughtless and absorbed in his own interest and activities, treating his wife as if she was still an employee. Ooh, not good, huh? But sometimes I think we do that in our lives and with church, relationships. Anyway, the sad part was she got cancer, and she was confined to bed for a long time. And before she died, and after her funeral, Carl went back to his empty house. And he was grieving, which was natural. And he wandered through the downstairs thinking about the woman that he had loved. And after a while, he went upstairs to her room and sat down in a chair and by the bedside on which she had been lying for several months. And he realized with painful regret that he had not sat there enough or very often with her long illness. Then he noticed her diary sitting to the side. Now, while she was alive, he would never have read it. But now that she was gone, he felt free to pick it up. And he thumbed through the pages. One entry caught his eye. Yesterday, it said this, "Yesterday he spent an hour with me. It was like being in heaven. I love him so much." Boy, she's good, isn't she? He turned a few more pages and read, "I listened all day to hear his steps on the hallway, but now it's late and I guess he won't come to see me." Thomas read a few more entries and then threw the book down on the floor and rushed out through the rain back to the cemetery, and he fell on his wife's grave and in the mud sobbing, "If only I had known, if only I had known." I hope that one day that we don't get to heaven and God lays before us our life and he says, and we say, "Oh, I wish I had known about the mission of the church. That my purpose was to reach out to others, to love and care for them, to help them follow Jesus and to find Jesus." It's that serious. We really should have that passion and motivation to do just that. Won't you stand with me this morning as we prepare to sing our invitation song? And I picked one that would fit with our communion actually today. And as we sing it, I think about